week, and the different ways that people with prophetic gifts operate. In fact, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. And 1 Corinthians 12. And I've, you've heard this numerous times, but I'm going to read it again. I'm in the King James. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, non-speaking idols, even as you were led." So it's letting us know that if, sometimes our ignorance is caused by the people we followed that have led us into a misunderstanding or no understanding by really not leading us where they ought to lead us. And I thank God I serve a God that talks to me. We the only folks that do. Because I tell you, Buddha hadn't had a word to say. A lot of folks think that Allah, who is, there's nothing wrong with that name, it's just the Arabic word for God. But the God that they think they serve, many of them, does talk to them, but it's a demon spirit. And we serve a loving God that talks to us, wants to guide us and direct us. And I tell you what, I have found out that I think the biggest key to getting to where God wants you to be, having a successful, living a successful Christian life, being what God wants you to be, doing what He wants you to do, is learning how to be led by the Spirit of God. Because if you don't listen to God, you're going to go the wrong way. And you train yourself. So go back to Doug's sharing with us about it. He had a prophecy come to him. He wrote it down. He shared it with somebody that was going on a missions trip. And then when these two folks got in the situation, I don't know, I didn't talk to Doug about how he got this, but a lot of prophets are typically seers. A lot of times you just see this, and then the words go with it. Sometimes you hear a prophecy and just repeat what the Lord said to you. But however he got that, when the folks got over here in the situation, they needed some guidance, and he said, and one guy said to the leader, which is important because the Bible says, Doug mentioned that several times, because the Bible says that prophecy is to be judged. We're talking about in the church. Paul said, when one prophesies, let the others judge. And some folks, you know, we all can miss it. And if somebody misses it, I don't care how spiritual they may be or how religious it sounds, somebody needs to say, you know what, I think we need to pray about that. I'm not sure that was God. And the same thing is true, tongues and interpretation equals prophecy, and therefore tongues plus interpretation is open to judgment. Now, most of the time, we're not going to have to do that, but if somebody gets up and says something that's just totally off the wall and not in line with the Word of God, if I hear it, I'm going to say, we need to not act on that right now. And then somebody asked, there was a question asked last week about a person that asked me after the service, said, you know, I have held back many times on giving a message in tongues when I felt like I had one, because somebody had told me in the past that I should not give a message in tongues unless I felt that I had the interpretation. Now, we know the Bible says when you speak in tongues, pray that you might interpret. Well, if you read that in context, it's when you're in a church where it says don't give a message in tongues in the church. It doesn't say unless there be interpretation. It says unless there be an interpreter. I want to tell you, if you're in a room full of Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled, baptized people, there is an interpreter there. I can't promise you they'll step out in faith and do it, but they're there. So but in a case like that, if nobody else has got the interpretation, ask the Lord to give it to you. But the reason I brought that up, the caution is, now some people have taught that even in your personal devotion life, when you speak in tongues or pray in tongues, you ought to ask God for the interpretation. Well, if you need it, He'll let you know. But I want to say this. If you do pray your own prayer and then give your own interpretation, You better take it to somebody, because now you have just prophesied to yourself, and it needs to be judged. But, and that's the caution in that, because if we don't watch it, we might have a, get a little excitement in tongues, and then we'll prophesy to ourselves what we wanted to hear. Now, I might just be talking to me. I don't know. But I could do like, say, has anybody ever missed it? Anybody, I could say, has anybody not ever missed it? And then as soon as you raise your hand, we'll say, well, we're going to have an altar call and pray for liars. But see, this is all checks and balances in the Word of God. And that's over in chapter 14 when Paul's talking about let everything be done decently in order. Kenny, wait just a minute, Kenny. You're going to say something profound, and I want to hear it. So make sure this mic, is this, wait a minute, let me turn mine off and try this. How's this? Is it working? Not yet. Not yet. It's not working. Battery. Oh, well. Is it working? Well, give me a little volume then. Give me some volume on this thing. Up there on the main game. We're getting there. All right, Kenny.
Well, I've found in my own personal experience that when the Lord is moving upon me to either prophesy or speak in tongues, usually the Holy Ghost inside of me is about to burst my chest, and it's not something that I'm anxious to do. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of, I'm not going to say fear, but a little bit of anxiety there. You're not usually going to jump into something that God's in unless He gives you the power and the words to say. And all you got to do is say the first word, and then it flows. So, you know, if somebody, a word of caution, if you go to a meeting and or you're in a setting where somebody has always got a word, you got to be careful of those people.
That's right. That's a good word. Now, so that's something else I said last week that I wanted to make sure you didn't misunderstand. I talked about how in the past when I felt like I had something particularly, you know, that had to do with the sermon the pastor just preached. I was an associate pastor for 18 years. I always had something else I could have added to it. When I get through preaching myself, I had something I could have added to it. But I said that I would tell the Lord, my pastor's got a good track record of hearing from you, so if I need to say this, you let him know, or let him know somebody. But I also said after that, I said, I'm not trying to put a damper on y'all speaking up during the service. But see what Kenny did? He just did like this, and I said, yes, sir. And because I want to hear from you when you got something like that. I tell you, we had a message here a few weeks back. Monty ended it up, and he had something to say that just put the final nails in the thing, the package that we needed to hear. So we want, that's what we want. This is a function of the body working, okay? I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read the first couple of verses, and then we go on down. I'm going to go down to verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. Administration is how you go about doing it, basically. We all administer things differently. And there are diversities of operations. There's different ways how they work. Some people prophesy one way, some people prophesy another way. But the same God works all in all. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Each or every man. And it says every man, King James, and each. The manifestation is given to every man. And that word each is the Greek word means separate, each, every, everyone, everyone of any number separately. The manifestation is given to everybody. There's different ways, there's different gifts, there's different ways people administer them, there's different ways they operate, but everybody is part of the body. And the manifestation is for everybody, one way or the other. Verse 8, for to one is given by the, then we get down into naming the gifts. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. By the way, the name, title of my message, I didn't know what my title was last night until I got through with my notes. The manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We know that the Bible tells us, well, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself just yet. The Bible tells us a lot of things. And then when we get that, I went through verse 11. I'm not going to read verse 12, but verse 12 begins to compare the body of Christ to your function of your human body. That every part of your body has a function. And if any little old part, sometimes in little old inward parts down on the inside that you hardly ever see or hardly ever hear from, just one of them things can get the working wrong. We prayed for somebody this morning that possibly the problem is potassium staying in the right balance. Just something in the endocrine system, some little old gland, some little old something is not working right, and it makes the whole body not work right. And the church is designed, we are the body of Christ. And he has worked for 2,000 years with a handicapped, sick body. Because all the parts don't work. But see, it's supposed to be, everybody has got something. Some part of the body, it's not all vocal, everybody don't have to stand up and say something, but a lot of people ought to that don't. But I'm going to tell you that we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. There's two different Greek words for gifts in the Bible. Well, there's one that there's several ways, but it's the same root word. One of the Greek words for gifts is from the root doron or doria or doma. They all come from the same root. Those words for gift, the only reason I'm telling you this, I think to help you see something, it means a free gift, stressing its gratuitous character, always used of supernatural or spiritual gifts. And some examples I'll give you, the scriptures won't be on the board, but we'll look at them, but in Ephesians 4 and 7, it says, it uses this word doron, or from that root, when God gave us the gift of Christ. He just gave us the Christ because we did nothing to earn it, nothing to deserve it, except we just received it, okay? That's just a free gift stressing its gratuitous character. And then in Acts 2 and 8, it uses the same word for the gift of the Holy Ghost. He gave us the Holy Ghost that same way. And in Romans 5 and 17, the gift of righteousness is doma. In Ephesians 4 and 8, for we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of itself, it is a gift. Doron or Doma one, I forgot, of God. So all of those are free things that God gives us. But then there's another word that's used for gift, and I'm not going to get all the scriptures out today, but I might later. And that word is charisma. And that word for gift is a gift involving grace. Now, I've told you in the past, charisma, the root is charis, which is the word for grace or favor. And here's what, in Vine's dictionary, this is a part of what the definition says for charis, or grace, or favor. It says, divine favor, the sum of earthly blessings, the power and equipment for ministry and the Christian life. The power and equipment. That's what grace is. Grace is not what a lot of people are teaching nowadays, that because of grace you can live any old way you want to. Grace means you got the power to live a different kind of way. And grace is also the word for the power and equipment for ministry. Now, but when it comes to gifts, that word charis has got an M-A on the end of it, which means the working of, the M-A indicates the working of the root word, so charis, and you put the M-A on it, means the grace is at work doing something. So what I want to get around to saying, God's grace, his supernatural favor and power and equipment is given based on two different verses I read. is given to every man, every part of the body of Christ. Everybody has that's born again has God's grace on the inside of them. That is a power source on the inside of you. Everybody that's born again has the agape, the love of God, on the inside of you, shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Whether or not you ever let any of it out is up to you. And the same is true with grace. Grace is not just to forgive your sin. Grace is for you to affect the world with. It's a power. So, it's up to us to put the ma on the charis. The working of grace, the MA is our part and the charis is God's part. And that's my message. I'm not talking about just this morning. That's what God sent me to tell the church. That God gets a lot of blame for what we don't do. Now listen, it's not you doing it. But God has a body on this earth and He needs us to work. I didn't do this to try to sell you some CDs. I've had some out there since I've been here. But CC came and handed me one of my sets of CDs out there in the lobby this morning. And it just so happens the title of it is How to Get Your Prayers Answered. Got a cute little old baby there praying with his hands folded. How to Get Your Prayers Answered. Now, I don't know all the answers, but the Bible knows some of them. And I'll just tell you some of the titles in here. Number one. When prayers are not answered, what's going on? I just said when prayers. Number two, hindrances to answered prayer. The Bible tells you a number of things that this keeps your prayers from being answered. We know it says if you don't ask, you don't receive, right? We know it says if you ask and your motives are wrong, you don't receive. The scriptures say that if you have unconfessed sin in your life, God doesn't hear your prayers. There's a number of different reasons in the Bible that tells us why prayers are not answered. Like we were hearing in Sunday school, Tony was pointing out to it. A lot of times folks try to make up their own answers to give people. And it's not always that somebody's bad or something like that. There's a lot of reasons why prayers don't get answered. And then the number three was don't pray iffy prayers. That's basically if it. Now, there's times you don't know the will of God. You know what you do? You say, Father, your will be done. But there's a lot of times I do know the will of God. When I prayed for Edith Chalice on the phone, the Bible said, believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. I said, Edith, lay your hand on your ear. You're a believer. And I pray, and I said, and the Bible also says, the two on earth agree to touch anything they ask, it'll be done, my Father in heaven. And so we're going to get an agreement here and we're going to expect something to happen. Now, it might not be that quick. But we set something in motion, and then I got prayer changes things number one, and prayer changes things number two, and then the next message is push. Pray until something happens. A lot of times we quit before we get there. Sometimes it takes a long time, and sometimes the bigger you think, I don't know if you know it or not, but it takes human reproduction is the gestation period is about 9 months. Well, that's quite a while. But with elephants, it's a matter of years. Cockroaches and mice, they reproduce in a couple of minutes, I reckon. So sometimes the bigger miracle you're hoping for, the longer you're going to have to hang on in faith. And it's just like I heard several testimonies. I've experienced it myself. As soon as you get a good prophecy, get prayed for, start believing the Word of God for something, it gets worse. Well, because there's the enemy out there that's trying to keep you from getting it. And then my last one was prayer and special effects. When we pray, stuff sometimes special things start happening. And the only reason I said that, all that teaching is about, it has nothing to do with God needing to change what He does. It's all about what I need to change about what I do to get the kingdom of God to work in my life like it's supposed to. I got to put the muh on the carrot. Man's will must yield to God's grace in order for the gifts to manifest. I mentioned last week at the end of the service how we had prayed for Patty on a Wednesday night because she said, many times I'm sitting there and I feel like I ought to, have the interpretation. And she wanted that gift working in her life, so we prayed for her. And I said last Sunday, now that was, I don't know how long, that was a couple months ago, I reckon. I said, you know why she hadn't got to use that gift? You got to wait on a message. I don't know. I've got feeling somebody one week or another might have had one and choked it back down. We're not trying to get wild, but I tell you what we're trying to do. We're trying to get to working like the Bible says we're supposed to operate as a church. Man's will must yield to God's grace for the manifestation of the gifts. Now, there's a few things, and I just did these quickly last night. I didn't have this not from previous thoughts or anything. It's just some things that came to me. Step number one, I said, is desire. We know that in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, and I think that might be on the screen, it says, follow after love, charity, and desire spiritual gifts. But rather that you, mostly, especially that you might prophesy. We talked about why that is last week. And it says over in verse 39 of that chapter, wherefore, brethren, covet or earnestly desire to prophesy, and don't forbid to speak in tongues. So, first step is you got to have a desire, and a desire will include prayer. If you want something from heaven, if you want something from God, you will pray if you want it enough. So, we're talking about how the manifestation of the Spirit, because it says they're supposed to be manifesting in all of us. Step number one, desire. Step number two, I said yield, which means to submit. God can't use anything. We have to submit our, we have to yield our mud to God's cares. I'm glad I come up with that. It didn't sound even as good when I thought about it last night. We need to yield. We need to be filled. And then when the filling comes, you need to put some action with it. You need to do something with what you got. There's folks that'll say that, you know, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1947, spoke in other tongues. Well, what have you done that made an impact on the kingdom since then? What? Huh? You're filled for a reason. And it's not just to speak in tongues, by the way. That's important. But you're filled for a reason. You're a miracle going somewhere to happen. What was that Andrew Womack said you reminded us last week? That you've got somebody else's miracle on the inside of you. Yes, sir. If we don't what? Leak. Well, leaking's one thing. But then burning up the fuel is another thing. So either one of those you need to keep refueling, replenishing. Well, if you don't use it, you lose it. It's true with your muscles, it's true with whatever. Now, God's not going to take it away, but it'll be like your muscles. He didn't take my muscles away. But the less I use them, I find that the harder they are to find. And then when I do try to use them, they don't work as good. Amen? So Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you through the laying on of my hands. Or the hands of the elders, excuse me. Stir it up. You got to keep it stirred, got to keep it working, keep using it. If you don't drive your car for quite a while, it don't run good. The worst thing that happened to an automobile is sit around and not be used. Because they don't function right. I went on, I think, 1970. I was gone about all year. I left my 63 Chevrolet 3/4-ton pickup sitting in the yard at the house. No, it was a GMC, excuse me. And I didn't think about having somebody to crank it up. My wife didn't like to drive the truck. I didn't think about somebody coming around and cranking it up. When I got back home and tried to crank that thing, it wouldn't. I had to wind up taking all the spark plugs out, shooting WD-40 in the cylinders and all that, and letting it. I couldn't even get the turnover. You know, only thing wrong with it, it'd been sitting there and not being used. So we need to begin to exercise what God has put in us. Acts chapter 2. I started on the vocal gifts last week, and I intended just to go deal with another gift today, but I felt like I needed to go back and tie some stuff together. Acts 2, and beginning at the first verse, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, I'll just remind you, you know about this, but you know that John the Baptist had said in Matthew chapter 3 that that I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoes, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And we know how Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said in Luke 24, and I believe 49, I believe, he said, tarry in Jerusalem, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father, which is the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power. That word, by the way, is really the word that's the word for power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So then we get to chapter 2, and it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. They were all in agreement. Now, they might not have all been in one accord about which side of the church we ought to put the piano on, or whether we ought to sing hymns or praise choruses, or how you ought to do water baptism. They might not have been in agreement about all that, but they were in agreement that Jesus said we're supposed to come to this prayer meeting, and we're going to get the power. They were all in agreement, and it says they were all in one place, and I tell you, it was the right place. Jesus appeared to, we know at one point during his 40 years back here on earth, between the resurrection and the ascension, he spoke to over 550 people at one time. He invited a lot of people to this party. 120 showed up. It was the ones that were in the right place. And that left, however, if he talked to 1,000, then there was about 880 that probably went around saying, well, it must not have been his will for me to have it. No, if it wasn't his will, he wouldn't have promised it. You didn't show up. a lot of times good things keep you from God's things. Some of those people that didn't show up on the Pentecost, I don't know what the reasons are. Some of them might have thought, well, I need to go to a PTA meeting. Now, PTA meetings are good, I guess. But if you're supposed to be in the upper room, they're not good. You know, it might have been, I need to work a little overtime. I don't know what all their excuses were, but they all had something going on. And some of them just might have been, my favorite program is on whatever their version of the TV was at that time. But a lot of folks missed it. So if we see that they were all in one accord in one place, and it said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. You have heard this scripture probably who knows how many times, but you know what, it still excites me every time I see it. And suddenly, I love them suddenlies in the Bible. Now, suddenly, by the way, was after waiting 10 days. Suddenly, after 10 days, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each and every one of them. To each is given the manifestation. It said upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I know you've had it called to your attention, but I tell you what, chapter 1 tells us some of the folks that were in that prayer meeting, and we know that it names a bunch of them, and in their group it included Mary, the mother of Jesus. She spoke in tongues. And the whole bunch of women were there. It wasn't all men, women, those that were gathered. And they all began to speak in tongues. Now, here's where I go back to, you know, how things, different operations and whatever, and different workings. Here's 120 folks in this one room, and they all begin to speak in tongues. Now, you know, 1 Corinthians 14 says you shouldn't be born two or three. But 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about in a typical church service where you have unbelievers there and you want to do something that edifies them. That up there in the upper room was a believers meeting. Those folks knew what was going on. And how do you know it's all believers? Because you can't hardly get a believer to stay for a 10-day prayer meeting, let alone an unbeliever. Let's call a 10-day prayer meeting and see how many is left after the ninth day. All right? But you know what? They had their desire set on something, and Jesus made them a promise, and they said, He didn't say, by the way, go and wait in Jerusalem for 10 days and then you'll get it. He said, just go and wait until. So I believe they would have been prepared to stay there for a 30-day prayer meeting if they need to, because they wanted this thing. And I tell you what, the gifts of the Spirit, if you don't want them, don't get nervous. You're not going to get them. I tell you what, I'm going to throw this out here, and if it doesn't fit your theology, just give me a little break here. But I believe on February 1977, when I went to the altar and told the Lord, whatever these people have, God, I want it. My life changed so dramatically at that moment that I know I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that day. Now, I was at an altar on my knees with nobody with me. I might have prayed in tongues a little bit that morning, but I don't remember that. But it was almost a year later till I actually had a manifestation of speaking in tongues. Now, there was a man I mentioned here a few weeks ago that had a similar experience. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. He said he knew he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it was a good while before the tongues began to work. Now, I know you should be taught to expect to go ahead and manifest that gift when you receive. But then I wanted that other, but I was in a church where I was not likely to learn anything about it. I mean, we called it glossolalia, and that God used to do that. But I began to read things, and God sent me to the bookstore and put the very books in my hands I needed to read. And I can remember times when I wanted to speak in tongues so bad, I'd be driving my truck on my job. I remember one time I was heading to Fayetteville, I think, and I know the spot over there on Highway 2427. Well, it was the entrance to an old drive-in movie back in them days. I pulled off in that driveway and just straining, trying. And I can remember being in motel rooms and getting down on my knees at the foot of the bed and just grunting. I had a lot of denominational stuff to deal with. I didn't grow up with this, okay? And then I was in a motel room down in Greenville, South Carolina. Here I'd been filled with the Holy Ghost for a year. I know I had. I was seeing other manifestations. I just hadn't got that one to work. And I was here, and I had Pat Boone's book, A New Song. And I had my Bible out, and I had a gin and tonic sitting on the table beside the bed. And I'm praying about this thing, and I'm reading that book of Pat Boone's, and I said, I don't want to shock all you people that was in holiness, been holy all your life, but some of us had to come through some stuff. All right? And I said, Father, I want this. If there's anything I need to change in my life, I'm willing to do it. And I did not think about this. I didn't hear a voice. I heard my own mouth say, okay, I'll quit drinking. From that day, I wasn't a big drinker. I just used a little at night for the same reason my kids smoked pot. Okay? That I was so upset about. But that was the end of that. Never did that again. Now, that's not the key to getting it. That was my key to getting it. He needed me to yield something else to him. There was still other stuff he had to work on after that. But I quit smoking right away. I knew about that. But anyhow, so it wasn't the next day, but then about a week or two after that, I was asked, we had sent some representatives from our church, two of us in fact, to go and teach at a Lutheran Youth Congress over at Big Woodlawn Holiday Inn. We were over there for, I think, Friday night and all day Saturday. And I was going to teach two sessions on living faith. I was a faith man. I was. And so the kids could just voluntarily go to whichever classes they wanted. And so I wasn't planning on telling all this today. Must be something in it, because last week I threw some extra stuff in, and that's exactly what somebody in the lobby told me. That's just what I needed to hear. So I went over there in the first session. I was studied up. I probably had 8 pages of notes. I'm going to teach these teenagers some stuff about faith. And I had two kids show up, and both of them were real quiet. There was a boy and a girl. Neither one was going to say anything in front of the other one. And so for an hour, it was like agony. because this is supposed to be participation, you know. And then I said, I don't know if this is a good spiritual prayer or not, but when that was over, I was supposed to have another session following that, and I said, Father, if you can't send me but two, please don't send anybody. So sure enough, nobody showed up. Pastor Herb Murley from Resurrection Lutheran Church was teaching a class on the baptism of the Holy Spirit down in another room. I went down there to that. He started out by drawing some circles. This is the word, this is the natural realm, this is the spiritual realm. Another circle. I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. He started quoting scriptures. Boy, he was quoting scriptures. I've quoted a bunch of them today. And I was amazed. And I've been drawing those circles ever since then. But he said, you know, the gifts a lot of times are like when daddy gets excited and he gives his 3-year-old boy a 26-inch bicycle. You know, you're not quite ready to ride it, so we put it up in the attic. You've got the gift. The gift is yours, but you don't know how to ride it yet. So the very next, so Monday of that week, I was in my big old scale test truck heading down highway, number 9, heading down below Paisley, South Carolina, in the more long hills. And I started praying, and I said, Father, I believe I've already got this gift. I just hadn't figured out how to ride this bicycle. And what I want you to do is like I did with my children. I want you to put me on it, take the training wheels off, get the back of the seat, and give me a big push. And about the time I said that, now, Pat Boone's book, A New Song, he told how the first time he ever had a manifestation of tongues, he was singing. Well, that makes sense for Pat Boone. But I didn't realize that's what happened to me. I started singing. I just started singing. And it was words I didn't know. And then I heard myself saying, now, Lord, tell me what I said. And I began to sing in English, and it was nothing but praise and worship to God. And so from that point on, I had liberty. But you see, the reason I'm saying all this is the part desire plays in this. You don't have to be nervous if you don't want it, because you're not going to get it. But you've got to desire the things of God, and you've got to get hungry. I've got a couple of good Smith Wiggle, I know John G. Lake sermons in a book, and one of them was Spiritual Hunger. And I remember him talking about if you was out here, man, in the wilderness somewhere, and hadn't had anything to eat for days, if you found anything that was the least bit edible, you'd be hungry and you'd eat it. And he said, we got to stay that way for the things of God. We got to stay hungry. You got to be hungry. You got to have desire. So what about these folks here? Do they have desire? Absolutely. They waited in Jerusalem and prayed for based on a promise they had for 10 days in a prayer meeting. They yielded. They did what Jesus said. And then what happened? What they needed to do was receive. He had the gift there for them. They just needed to receive it. And then once they received it, they acted on it. They did something with it. So in verse 4, look here in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now, question for you. Who spoke? They did. That's the muh. Who gave the utterance? The Holy Spirit did. It came from God. That's the charis. Who began? They did. They began to speak. They began to speak. And there was a manifestation. God had given them the gift. They were all filled. They were all filled. Now, we just go from the first part of the verse to the rest of the verse. But there was a little time span there. They were all filled, whether it was 5 seconds, whether it was 2 hours. In their case, that's not true, but I'm talking about with us. Whether it was 2 weeks, whether it was a year. They were filled, but they've got to get the release before there's any manifestation. And they started it. God had already, God said, okay, you're filled. There's nothing else he can do right now. Your mouth belongs to you, not to him. I mean, it's nice to submit your mouth to him, but it's still up to you what comes out of it or what doesn't come out of it. You can keep mum. You can keep your lips shut and God won't say a word through you. I've shown through all this teaching. I've never talked to gifts of the Spirit like this before, about so much about purpose and why and all that. I go back to prophecy last week. If you were here, you heard it, but you need to be refreshed. It says in chapter 14, chapter 12 tells us about the gifts. It introduces them. Chapter 14 is about abuse and disuse, but it only focuses on two of the gifts, and that's tongues and prophecy. Because that's an area the church needed to know how to balance properly. Chapter 13, right in the middle, what's the subject of it? Love. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and don't have love, it's nothing but a bunch of noise. I might have faith to move mountains, but if I don't do it in love, it don't amount to nothing. So the whole thing about this whole chapter 12, 13, 14, by the way, some of the cautions I've taught, you know, most churches don't have a problem with abuse. They have a problem with disuse. That's more common than the abuse. But the thing is to understand that they all operate out of a motivation of love, and love is based on what it would be a blessing to the other person, not what will be a blessing to me. Love is based on what can I do or say that will help you. So, tongues is for me. That doesn't make anything wrong with them at all. But in the church, he says, if you read chapter 14 and then put it in that, seek most of all, right after he finishes with the love chapter, he says, and stay in love, desire the gifts, especially that you may prophesy, because when you prophesy, it edifies, encourages and comforts the church when you prophesy. Now, tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. So you might have the first half of that prophecy. You might have the tongues in church. I was backing up here kind of looking for something. What did I do with it? Oh, the definition of those words, edification, exhortation, and comfort. You heard them last week. Edification, it's the act of building. Act of building a home. It's used in the sense of edification, promotion of spiritual growth. Well, we know, I point out in building the home, you got to saw some stuff, you got to hammer some stuff. It's not just, the building doesn't just jump up. We got to do some stuff to build up our spiritual life. The exhortation word, or sometimes encouragement is part of the definition. Paraklesis, you remember the paraclete? That means take hold of it with you. So the paraklesis, the paraclete is the Holy Spirit because he takes hold of it. He's our helper. And paraklesis means it's a calling to one's side, to one's aid, and it means encouragement. And so that is the comfort, the encouragement in this thing, the exhortation is you get built up spiritually because something's coming down the road. You got to deal with it. And then the encouragement is that there is somebody you can call to your side that will take hold of this with you to help you. And then the comfort is primarily speaking closely to anyone. Para is near, and the second half of the word means consolation or comfort. And it says with a great degree of tenderness. Now, I spit all that out kind of quickly, but the purpose of prophecy in the New Testament is supposed to be to build you. Whatever is said to you will build you up spiritually. It will encourage you and kind of help take hold of this thing with you, whatever you're dealing with. And it will comfort you, speaking tenderly to you that in your ear, to come close like and whisper in your ear. And God is saying, I got this. I'm with you. That's what prophecy ought to accomplish in the church. Now, so when prophecy comes, it's going to bless the church. And if I go to church thinking about what's good for me, I mentioned my mentor and old pastor for a long time, Lester Burns Robbins. And we used to have his Full Gospel Businessmen's Prayer Breakfast down in Concord. We had a monthly meeting, and then every Monday morning and every Saturday morning, we had a prayer breakfast in the back room of one of the restaurants down there, and we really had some good services. Wasn't too big a crowd of us, but we had breakfast, and we just... And Pastor Robbins came in there, and this is where I just first had met him. That's where I first met him. I didn't know this man. And we had always, somebody said, the leader said, well, let's just go around the table and tell everybody why you're here today. And so the first one started, and they said, I came here because, you know, I think I might need a blessing. And somebody said, oh, well, I need this, and I need that, and I need the other thing, and I need this, and I need that, and I need... Basically, they all said, I came to get blessed. Pastor Robbins, when it got to him. He said, I came over this morning because I thought some of your brethren might need a blessing. Now, in my infancy, I thought, that's arrogant. But then I found that, no, that's mature. He didn't come to get something. He came to bring us something. And if we had all come to church to bring something, you'd be amazed at what could happen. If we had all come. Now, we will receive. Give and it gets given to you. You bring something, you'll get something. The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing. Well, if nothing else, bring a song. Unto Zion, the church. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. And they shall obtain. Now here's where you get something. You brought something first, seed time and harvest. And they shall obtain gladness and joy. And then they get to leave something at church. And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. But see, it started with bringing something to church. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to sing it with singing unto Zion. And we enter into his presence with singing. You can't help but get blessed. I'm going to just add one little thing here that I think I need to. But all these gifts of the Spirit we've talked about, and I'll get back into the specifics. We still got two to go, and that's tongues and interpretation. I've phoned him in here just a little bit. But all the gifts have a comparable faith, or we might say natural operation, that compares to them. The gifts work as the Holy Spirit wills. The Bible tells me that. I can't get up this morning and say, you know, some people say, Saturday night we're going to have a miracle service. How do you know that? You're going to have service. And now there's things we can do to set ourselves to be more likely. But you see, the gifts work as the Holy Spirit. Faith works as I will. Based on a promise, of course. All right? I'll give you some comparisons. The word of wisdom is a supernatural manifestation of God's grace, a gift of the Holy, supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit that operates as the Spirit wills. We've talked about what it is. But there is a wisdom that we can learn through experience and paying attention to the Word of God. I can get wisdom. And there's another wisdom that when I'm facing a particular situation in life, and I lack wisdom about what to do about it, now it'd be nice if God just had somebody stand up like... And give me a prophetic word with a word of wisdom in it and said, God said me to tell you, here's the answer. But then it says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. In fact, that is James 1, 5 through 7. I think I asked him to put that in there. If you got that, James 1, 5 through 7. James 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. See, this is not the supernatural gift. This is you just asking for some wisdom. Next verse. But let him ask in what? Faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. See, that's, once again, I'm asking for wisdom, but it's a faith project. You've got to have faith even to get wisdom. If you don't think you're going to get anything from God. Gifts of healing. Well, you know what we can compare to that? Mark chapter 16. These signs follow them, believe they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I don't have to wait for the gifts of healing to be in operation. I'm going to call you down here and lay hands on you. Now, if the gifts of healings are working, wonderful. But if they're not, we're going to approach it from faith. James chapter 5, verse 14. Any sick, call the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil. That's not the only way to get healed. There's a lot of ways the Bible tells us to get healed. That's one. We've exercised that here a few times lately, and we've seen some results out of it. So we don't have to wait for the gifts to work, but what we can do is just step out in faith and do what the Bible tells us to do. The working of miracles. We know a miracle is something when the natural course of things just gets changed by God. Well, he decides when that happens. But then I have a scripture that says, whosoever, all the whosoever's raise your hand. whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt, believe in your heart that those things which you say shall come to pass. Believe what? Believe in your heart that those things that you say will come to pass. You'll have what you say. Don't say, didn't say believe in your heart that God might be able to do this. Believe in your heart that those things you say will come to pass, and you'll have what you say. Now, I hadn't had much reason to move mountains. I mean, you know, I'm in a literal mountain. But I was up in a hospital yesterday. My brother went in for something unrelated. It was a reaction to medication, by the way. His tongue swelled up and filled his whole mouth up. He could not really breathe. First thing they asked him was, in the ambulance, they said, do you take lisinopril? He said, yes. They said, that's probably it. Got to the ER, do you take lisinopril? Yeah, that's probably it. Read all that list of how the many ways that medicine will kill you, and you'll see it's on the list. But anyway, but I wanted to pray with him, but he's dealing with this cancer thing too. But, and so, you know, one thing I did when I laid my hands on him, now he doesn't know too much about this stuff, but he's a Christian. And I talked to that cancer. I'm not going to waste my faith on a mountain. I talked to that cancer and I told them cells they need to die and get out of that body. So we can cause miraculous things to happen by acting on the Word of God. We don't have to wait for the gift, but thank goodness the gifts are there. And the gift of supernatural faith. You remember what I told you Smith Wigglesworth said? He said, I have found that I have to take my own developed faith and take it as far as it will go. But usually it's not far enough to get to where I need to get to, and then God will hook the gift onto the end of what I did. He hooked his mud to God's charis. I think that's the whole thing I'm trying to get across today. Gift of faith. We mentioned that. I started that. Developed faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And then we develop it by using it, just like your muscles. So I don't have to, if I'm going to wait for God just to come, I don't read the Bible. I don't pay no attention to what the preaching. I don't study to show myself approved unto God. Well, God says, you know, that He's got a miraculous faith He'll bring when I need it. No, you've got to step out there and do your part, and then He'll hook His to yours. And the gift of tongues, I'm going to mention this, and I don't want to cause any confusion about this, but I'm going to lay this out in a certain way, and it doesn't have to be specifically that, but one way I see this. The supernatural gift of tongues operates like all the gifts of the Spirit as the Spirit wills. Now, that gift is talking. See, every one of these I showed you, there is a supernatural gift, and then there is another function of it that's based strictly on your faith. You got honoring your faith. So this gift, and in chapter 14, it's dealing with this, about this gift in the church as a message to the church. That gift is as the Holy Spirit wills. You can't just decide this morning that you're going to, well, I think I'll just jump up and speak in tongues. Well, if it's a message for the church, it's like Kenny said, you're going to know you're supposed to get up and say something. You didn't just decide to. So that is the gift, and it operates as the Spirit wills. It's for ministry to the church and also as a sign to unbelievers. 120 folks on the day of Pentecost up there in that meeting got happy, got loud, came down in the street. They're probably still happy and loud. And there's all these people from all these different parts of the world that know all these other languages, and they say, these Galileans, these uneducated Galileans are speaking. And the word, by the way, when it says we're speaking our tongue or our language, it's the word for dialect. It wasn't just the right language. It was the specific dialect for that particular part of where they were from. That was a sign to them folks. So there was no interpretation, but it got interpreted in the ears of those that were listening. So it wasn't needed in that case. But now I'm going to look at tongues. There's tongues for personal edification, my own personal devotion life. And that's why I separated them to see this. It's a gift just like everything else we get from God is. But it is not this same operation as the gift to the church, to minister to the church. Because this is a gift, just like everything else I mentioned here, that I can control with based on my faith. I will. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25, 1 Corinthians 14, 25, he said, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Next verse. Did I give you any more, or is that it? never mind. We jumped somewhere. I had 12 to 15, but that's I might have written it crooked, too. Anyway, but Paul said, and he says on down there, so what am I going to do? He said, you know, he said, here's what I'll do. I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding, and I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing in my understanding. And so he put his own will in there. And then he said in that same right along with those verses right there, and I thank God I do this more than any of you. Right? So he, in all of his cautions, he said, listen, I'm a big believer in this gift, but you got to know what it's for and when to use it, and it helps. I would not have you misinformed, brothers, uninformed about the gifts of the Spirit. So the main thing is, that's one, if you got a hold of that one, you can use that all you want to and you need to. Right? And then when you come to church, you will have gotten yourself edified, and you will come in the door with a song. If you're happy and you know it, if you're happy and you know it, your face is surely short, and so is your mouth and your feet even. Right? So, that's the story on that. I'm gonna stop with that this morning. And I wasn't planning on going to those places today, but I did, so I think the Lord had something for somebody there. And I tell you what, if you stand to your feet, and if you need to sit down, you're welcome to, but just stand up and get your little exercise and get your juices flowing. Anybody here this morning, wasn't sure I'd do this morning, because I'm really not going to teach on speaking in tongues for next week, but we touched on it enough. If there's anybody here this morning that has never spoken in tongues, but now you're ready for it, you got the desire, you know it's something you ought to have. And maybe you have done it, but you don't have liberty, like it says, by faith, to do it whenever you need to or desire to, because you need it a lot of times. I'll point out the benefits probably next week. But in other words, you've received and you have spoken a little bit in tongues, but you don't have liberty to pray that way just when you need to anytime. Anybody like that wants it this morning, I want you to come down here.